तस्मिनावली तमस्तु मावे विशावहे ओम शांति शांति शांति।
The entire Bhagavad Gita, 18 chapters, what the Lord wanted to say here already said in the second chapter. He already said in the second chapter. The first portion, he dealt with knowledge. Then he dealt with Karma Yoga. Following these two, you will reach a state of realization and become a man of perfection. All three have been dealt in a nutshell. Like when they read news, the channels first give you headlines, then elaborate news, then again headlines, the end. Right? Exactly like that. Second chapter is nothing but the headlines of the Gita. Whatever he had to say, he had said. Then elaborating on what he said. From 3rd chapter till 17. Then 18th chapter is again headlines. So that's why you find 2nd chapter and 18th chapter bigger chapters. Right? He already spoke about Karma Yoga. In fact, strictly speaking, verse 47, chapter 2, Karmani Eva Adhikaraha Mahafalesh Vinoda, 48, 49, 50, in this portion he is talking about Karma Yoga. In a nutshell, he has already covered what is Karma Yoga. But since Arjuna asked about Sutta Prajna, Krishna went into details of Sutta Prajna. Now in third chapter he is giving elaborating on Karma Yoga. It's a third chapter. So this chapter termed as Karma Yoga, which means Yoga of Action. Bhagavad Gita, generally lot of people do not want to read or get into the study of the Gita because they are scared that it will probably make them run away from action. They think that Bhagavad Gita will make you inactive, renounce. Whereas, I don't know if there is any other scripture which is dedicated one full chapter for the science of action. How can a text which actually made a person stop running away and start acting make you run away unless you misunderstand it? You understand? So, he very clearly says, you must through action attain perfection. Lot of people misunderstand Gita and they give up. As a result of which, many more people do not want to get into Gita because they think they are also scared that they will be stopping action. So what is this Karma Yoga chapter talking? We will see the summary now. We will take about 15 minutes in total. It starts with Arjuna's question. Jayasi chet karma naste mata buddhir janardana tatkim karmani gorema yojayasi kechana vyamishreneva vakyena rutim mohayasi vame tadekam vadanishchitaya ena shreyopanamana. O Krishna, I didn't want to fight. I didn't know what is right, what is wrong. Therefore, I surrender to you and I ask you a question to tell me what is dharma for me and what is good for me. Then you elaborated on knowledge, also on karma. Right? Now, you seem to be praising knowledge over karma. If you think knowledge is better than karma, why are you forcing me to do this Ghora karma? Terrible action of killing, fighting on the battlefield. Arjuna has still not understood fully what Krishna is trying to say. Therefore, an elaboration is needed. So, in the third verse, Lord Krishna immediately says, Lokesvin Divida Nishta, Pura Prokta Mayanagar, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. In this world, there are two types of people, extroverted and introverted. For extroverted people, I have given Karma Yoga. For introverted people, I have given Jnanarupa. In other words, path is only one. That is what Lord Krishna's answer is. There is only one path, which is towards Atma. But which equipment you will use more depends upon whether you are extroverted or introverted. We have three equipments: body, mind and intellect. We have to use the body, mind, intellect and get to the Atma. Are you with me? We are abusing the body, mind, intellect, indulging in senses in the world. So Vedanta is saying, change your direction. You don't have to stop using your equipments. You have to just change your direction. Now, the direction is from you to outside world. The direction suggested by Krishna is from you to inside Atma. You have to use the same equipments. In the beginning, you are extroverted. You have so many desires. Therefore, you will be using more of the physical body, less of the intellect, but you will still use intellect. In other words, more karma yoga, less jnana yoga. Right? But if you are evolved soul, whose desires are less, you are an introverted person, you will be doing more jnana yoga, less karma yoga. Is that okay? So he says, path is only one. Loke asmin, asmin loke, dvibhidha nishta, pura prokta mayanaha. There is only one path with two lifestyles. Grahastha lifestyle, sannyasi lifestyle. Now you may say, then what about brahmachari and vanaprastha? They say there are only two lifestyles. Brahmachari is a preparatory lifestyle for grahastha. Vanaprastha is a preparatory lifestyle for sannyasi. Who is a brahmachari? Student life. Right? He learns, then he lives in the grahastha ashrama. Then he slowly becomes free from the grahastha ashrama, but he is not become entirely free, he lives in vanaprastha ashrama. Then he decides maybe to take up sannyas and leave. Are you with me? So, broadly speaking, two lifestyles. What are they? Grahastha ashrama and sannyasa ashrama. So I have spoken both. None can reach perfection, actionlessness, without action. That is what he says. By suppressing your actions, you will not get there. Through action alone, one must reach actionlessness. Many of us think that if I give up action, I will reach perfection. Are you able to sit down quietly without doing anything when your mind is going on thinking about many things? If you sit down quietly, you will only become a hypocrite. Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasa smaran indriyata vimudatma mityacharasa uchyate. Verse number 6. So what he is saying is, if you do not act and sit down quietly with so much of desires, you will not evolve. Rather, you will become a hypocrite. That is not going to help you. Through action, one must get to actionlessness. By being in the world, acting, but acting in the spirit of karma yoga, which is, what is karma yoga? Look at the board. Karma yoga is action plus awareness plus right attitude or arpana bhav plus acceptance, prasadabuddhi. I should have put within bracket prasadabuddhi after acceptance of food. Doing action with awareness, objectively you perform your actions. And when you do the action, you do it as an arpana. What it means is, basically the knowledge is that you are not separate from the total, you are a part of the total. Aware out of ignorance imagines itself to be separate from the total. as a result of which it says I should protect myself from the other waves, isn't it? And it starts swelling, trying to gather more and more waves into itself. Exactly like that, we think that we are separate from the total. Because if you see your body ends there, the other's body ends there, so you think you are all separate entities. It's like each and every part in the body, if it starts imagining a separate entity, identity for itself, not understanding that it is part of the system, and it starts swelling, it starts making its presence known. When any part starts making its presence known, it means it is abnormal. Something wrong with it. So, you are not a part, you are not a separate part, you are a part of a total. Somebody sneezes, you immediately concerned. Why? You are connected. The connection is not seen, that's all. Something happens in NASDAQ. It has a repercussion in Sensex. It's connected. Are you with me? We are all connected. This knowledge. Then Arpana Bhava comes. Then I should not act only for myself. I should circulate. What does a miserly person do?
Keeps everything for himself.
Goes on receiving, but he doesn't give. But a man of wisdom, man of knowledge, understanding that he is part of the total, he goes on offering, doing his actions as an offering. That is called Arpana Bhav, right attitude. And as a result of such action, whatever he gets, that he accepts as prasad. He accepts any fruit, whatever comes, as a result of his actions, it's a prasad for him. Prasad of the Lord. He thereafter acts as an ambassador of the Lord. That is the difference. When an ambassador is staying in a country, some other country, he is representing India, anything he will say will be interpreted as what India says. Therefore, he is completely thinking from India angle all the time and acting. Exactly like that, with that bhav, tera na mera. When we do aarti, we sing Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Jai Jagadish Hare. You sing that, right? In one of the lines, what do we say? Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera, Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Tan Man Dhan Sab Tera, Sab Kuch Hai Tera, Swami Sab Kuch Hai Tera, Tera Tujhko Arpan Kya Lage Mera. Only lips are saying. Right? Is it coming from within? If it comes from within, then your entire activities, it will be expressed. Tera Tujhko Arpan Kya Lage Mera. You make sure that I got food when I was in my mother's blood, my mother's womb. You make sure that now I get oxygen, water supply, everything. How did this whole thing happen? Whosoever designed, your father did not design or mother did not design, they didn't even know. Who will be born, whether a boy or a girl, what kind of features he or she will have? Who designed? Nose above the mouth? You take the foot, the nose smells, it's gone bad, you throw it. Supposing the nose was at the back here, you have to take it, then take it, then take it, take it here.
Put wings over there.
Maybe. So, in other words, you see the beautiful intelligence integrating the whole thing and making everything available for us. So he says, if you understand this and you will be functioning as a part, I created mankind in the beginning with the capacity to give. The world can be destroyed only by the mankind. No other animals will destroy this world. Global warming. There's a beautiful DVD by what's his name?
Al Gore.
Inconvenient Truth. Who is caused it? Animals are caused. It's only human beings. Human beings have been given this potential to do karma or karma yoga. Act without the spirit of Yajna or act in the spirit of Yajna. But human beings continue to function in the spirit of karma and not karma Yajna, karma yoga, and they bind themselves. Karma binds, karma yoga liberates. You have a choice to do karma or karma yoga. So Krishna having explained all this, he says, how does a sattvic person function? How does a rajasic person function? How does a tamasic person function? Sattvic action, rajasic action, tamasic action. What is tamasic action? One who eats without producing. One who eats all the benefits given by the world, nature, without contributing to them, is a tamasic person. Especially it is very difficult to talk about this nowadays. Because now everybody is wanting to contribute less and accept more. Isn't it?
Free.
Exactly. Like in the malls you go, bucket, if you buy, mug is free. Something like that. You look forward for things without having to pay for it. In fact, if you develop, you will become more aware that you will not touch anything if you have not paid for it. Now listen, I do not deserve this, I don't touch it. In what way have I contributed to touch it? We talk about Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, Sannyasa Ashrama. What is this Brahmacharya Ashrama? Anybody?
Foundation. It's like a foundation for strength.
Stage of strengthening. Take the example of a tree. Tree, coconut tree for example. First 3 or 5 years it doesn't give coconut. What is it doing? It is just strengthening its roots. Going on strengthening. Taking sunshine, sunlight, water, everything it's taking, carbon dioxide, whatever it needs. For 5 years it's taking. Then, after having strengthened, what does it do? Goes on giving. So similarly, when we are born, it's very interesting. Animals, as soon as they are born, you'll see a pup will go and drink milk from mother's bosom. But a human child cannot do that. If the mother doesn't feed the child will perish, die. Human child requires education. Animals are made to follow the instinct. You understand? Through education you strengthen yourself. Therefore, the society contributes for you. What do you mean? Your parents or the society contributes for your education. You don't have to worry about where your food comes from, where this comes from, that comes from. Everything is taken care of. All that you need to do is strengthen yourself. That is why when the person is educating himself and when the person grows to a certain age, automatically certain changes happen in the body. Hormonal changes, everything happens. When the hormonal changes happen, there is a possibility very high to get distracted. Therefore, they brought in this discipline of Brahmacharya. You understand? This is a discipline not to dissipate your energy, because this is a stage of strengthening, consolidation. Don't dissipate. Not because it is bad. What is bad or good about it? This is just a fact of life. You understand? But the problem is, it can distract you and not make you become strong. If you are not a strong person, you are a liability to the society. Are you with me? The society cannot go on supporting you forever. So Brahmacharya is not condemning the contact. Brahmacharya is trying to strengthen you by not allowing you to dissipate your energy. Then having strengthened yourself in the first 25 years through education, then you get into Grihastha Ashrama. Now you tell me, what is Grihastha Ashrama? Stage of contribution. I told you, Brahmacharya Ashrama is stage of strengthening or consolidation. Grihastha Ashrama is stage of contribution. Giving. You follow the cycle of giving. I have been taking all this while. Now it's time for me to pay back. Like Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is good in repaying, who is best in repaying. In fact, one of the main things in Islam is they give about 2.5% or something like that of their earnings in giving. And during Ramadan, they are giving everything as much as possible. The best time to get your driving license in the Middle East is Ramadan. Otherwise, you have no chance. You fail me very often, because they really celebrate getting license. I got my license after 2 years there.
Why?
Yeah. The little more giving, little forgiving. Of course, you make fundamental mistake, they won't give you.
Yeah.
You understand? It's not that easy. Anyway, what I am trying to say is, giving. Eating without producing is tamasic. The Grihastha Ashrama is stage of giving. Contacting with awareness. It's a period in which you do contact the world. After having offered, you enjoy the world, that whatever the world offers, following Dharma. As a result of which, slowly your mind becomes free from its preoccupations. So what is Vanaprastha Ashrama? A mind that has become free is now allowing itself to focus on simple living and high thoughts. That is Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is stage of simple living with high thoughts, higher aspects of life. In fact, when you are in Grihastha Ashrama, many of us do not even have any idea of what Bhagavad Gita is and what kind of, where all Bhagavad Gita classes are going on, etc. Then when you come to Vanaprastha, supposing you follow Grihastha Ashrama properly, then you will find out what is Bhagavad Gita, where the classes are happening. You get more interested. What are high thoughts, simple living. You understand? Then, as a result of such a life, you are now ready to renounce everything totally. That is the stage of renunciation, or which is nothing but contemplation. Total dedicated contemplation of Brahman. This is how the four lifestyles are, assuming that everybody lives for 100 years. 25, 25, 25, 25 years. It's not like that strictly, but you must understand the principle behind it. So in Grastha Ashrama, what is Grastha Ashrama? Karma Pradhanam. Sannyasa Ashrama is Jnana Pradhanam. It's predominant. Grastha Ashrama is Karma Pradhanam. One of the Sannyasa Ashrama is Jnana Pradhanam. Real me. So he says here, tamasic fellow eats without producing. Actions where you take without having contributed. Rajasic action is what he says. Rajasic people cook but eat sin. They do so much actions with an eye on the result of actions. With so much of craving and expectations, all the time they're thinking about what to get, what will they get in future, future, future. They are all the time agitated. Constantly agitated. I've acquired this business, now I have to acquire that business, I have to acquire that business. Going on, mind is only thinking about future, future, future. Seldom are they in the present and peaceful. Workaholics, with so much of expectation, eye on the result. Result-oriented people. Then sattvic action. Sattvic people, they eat the remnants of sacrifice. Remnants of sacrifice means their whole focus is contributing, giving. They are extremely aware of all that the nature has offered and offering. And now they are acutely aware of their role of giving back to the society. So whatever talent they have, nature they have, that is why he said, Tera tujhko arpan kya lage? Tera, this talent I have is given by you. The flower in the garden is yours. It's your garden. I'm taking the flower from your garden and giving it to you as an offering. So the talent in me is yours. I'm giving it back to you as an offering. Nara seva, Narayana seva. Nara means human being. Man, human being. Nara seva, Narayana seva. So my talent, I offer it for the welfare of everyone, loka sangraha. With an attitude of loka sangraha. And whatever comes as a result of that, I enjoy. So he says, sattvic people act in this attitude. What attitude? Remnants of sacrifice. Understanding the wheel of dharma, wheel of yajna. He talks about this in verse number 14 and 15. Anna bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyat anna sambhavaha. Yajna bhavati parjanyaha. Yajna karma samudbhavaha. Karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma. Nityam yajne pratishtitam. He says, from food come beings. And where does food come, food come from? Rain. How does rain come? Yajna. Where does yajna come from? Knowledge of Vedas. Vedas come from? Brahman. So by yajna, you can achieve productivity in the world, prosperity in the world. By yajna alone, you can get back to Brahman also. Therefore, you must follow the yajna activity. So the yajna cycle for worldly success as well as for moksha. By following yajna, you attain both peace and prosperity. By living, at the same time you attain moksha. If you do not follow yajna lifestyle, what will happen? Human beings, when you are not living for higher values, you will be getting some free time, not doing your actions, what you do? Rejoicing in senses. Anywhere in the world you go, weekends and vacations is where maximum indulgence. You are busy in the morning working, therefore less crowd in the gambling centers in the morning. Evening, no crowd. Even in Las Vegas, evenings and weekends and vacation. When you are given a free time, if you are not acting, what do? You start indulging in senses. When you start indulging in sense, what happens?
Your focus is too
senses have an elasticity. When you indulge, they start losing the capacity to contact. Are you with me? Senses have an elasticity. When you overindulge in them, they start losing the capacity to contact. But through indulgence, your desires increases. Having indulgence, it is not as if your desires have subsided. Temporarily maybe, but it increases, goes on increasing. The body has lost its capacity to contact, but the mind is still lingering in the senses. In other words, food is there in front of you, you can't eat. It is hell. Isn't it hell? So rejoicing in senses, living in vain. Therefore, you must regulate. You must earn your food, not earn your food. Earn for food, not. If you work out, then you can digest. So when you live in yajna lifestyle, you've contributed, you receive. You contribute, you receive. You contribute, you receive. You free your lungs, the lungs will be carrying capacity to fill it more. This is how you should live disease. Following yajna lifestyle, human beings are able to live happily and they evolve as well. As a result of this, when a person reaches that state, he doesn't do anything because he has to do something. He does things because he loves to do. Through yajna you reach Brahman. There is no pressure from within. Likes and dislikes are not forcing you. The environment doesn't force you to do anything. He doesn't stop acting even though he doesn't have anything to do. He continues doing what he loves to do, not what he likes to do. Are you with me? Therefore, he says he has nothing to do. So he says, follow the example of King Janaka. Also, he gives himself as an example. King Janaka was a perfect human being. He did not give up action. He did it for the welfare of the whole world. Arjuna, why don't you look at it like that? Why are you looking at your personal loss? Very often our mind starts calculating. If I do this, what will I lose? What will I gain? Isme mera kya hai? Isme mera kya hai? Isme mera kya hai? We are constantly thinking about what will I get, what will I get, what will I get. And a person who goes on thinking about what will I get, what will I get, he will not be happy. Impossible. If a person thinks in terms of what I can do, he cannot be but happy. Therefore he says, follow the example of King Janaka. Also, he gives himself as an example. Have nothing to be achieved in these three worlds, yet I engage in my action. Why? Because he says, yadya racharatya shreshtaha tatta deva idara janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Actions speak louder than words. Arjuna, I might have got free from actions, I may not need anything from the world, therefore I am not doing anything. But people will not understand it that way. They will start following me. Many times, as leaders and parents, you say many things to your children and your subordinates, but they are watching your actions, not what you say. If you say, don't speak lies, and then you tell your wife, somebody is calling, say, tell them I'm not there. Your child is watching you, what you're doing. Do you take care of elders at home? If you just impart lessons to your children, you must take care of elders. But you do not take care of elders, you do not respect elders, you don't have any time to talk to them. when your children grow up, be rest assured that they will not have any time for you. So, yadyad acharati shreshaha tatya devaita janara sayad pramanam kurte lokaspatal vartate. Whatever standard the leader sets, that alone will be others following. Therefore, Arjuna, we all, though we don't need anything from the world, we have risen above all desires and needs. Yet we continue to act because we know that we would be contributing to the fall of the human world. Therefore, we continue to act even though there is nothing to be achieved by us. So he says, you must do without thinking about what I will get. Personal loss. I will lose Bhishma, I will lose Drona. But righteousness will be established. In the bargain, even you may be lost. Rise. Get a larger picture. Don't always get stuck to the narrow mind. Narrow mindedness. You understand? Mind loss. You calculate. What about the total loss? People today destroy the total for their personal gain. And you see all those people all the time scheming, planning, and they are extremely agitated. Isn't it? Because they have to keep on adding and swelling. Because they misunderstood swelling to be growth. Swelling is different, growth is different. So Krishna says, wise should not unsettle the minds of the ignorant, rather they should set an example. Ignorant people are attached to action. Why they are attached to action? Because they do not know that gunas are acting, gunas are functioning. Guna guneshu vartante iti madvana sarjate. However wise you are, you invariably act propelled by your gunas. The gunas are acting very powerful. Morning you take a walk and not drinking. Right? Then what happens in the evening? Gunas take over. Habits take over. You start drinking. Gunas are so powerful. People are all functioning by the gunas. Sattvic people are attached to Bhagavad Gita class. Rajasic people are attached to business. Tamasic people are attached to gambling. Each guna finds himself in the respective environment. They do not understand that they are Atma, which is a non-dual. They don't know. They are attached. If you go and give them lecture, many times, trust me, after reading these verses deeply, one feels maybe one should stop lecturing. I'll tell you why. Because if you lecture a mind which is unprepared, instead of the mind rising and becoming sattvic, it starts becoming tamasic. You are Atma. You are not the body, the intellect. There is nothing lost, nothing gained. You keep talking like this, people start becoming tamasic, inactive. There is nothing to be done. Nothing to be achieved. I am already paripurna. So then what? Where is there that? Lot of people in India, that is why Swami Vivekananda said, go play football. A file wouldn't move. Either it doesn't move or it gets lost in this country. Isn't it? How can a place where Bhagavad Gita is spoken, hardly any action? Lecturing to the ignorant will make them more ignorant. They will start justifying their actions, plus or minus. Kyun act karna? What will I achieve doing all this? What is there to achieve? Nothing to achieve. I am Atma. You are also Atma. I am also Atma. You understand? Tamasic, people become more tamasic. That is why they are very, very careful. Never give this knowledge to a non-adhikari. So Lord Krishna says, never unsettle the minds of an ignorant. Rather, the wise person should set an example, rendering his actions attractive. Then slowly, because the ignorant person doesn't know. You are not acting, Lord Krishna is not acting because he is wrong. He thinks he is having great fun. Should also have fun. Everybody will start having fun. So therefore he says, wise person should act more now. So responsibility you can't give away. You just drop the sense of indispensability. What do you mean? You don't give up your responsibilities, you give up your sense of indispensability. So responsibility minus sense of indispensability is what he talks about. Having understood that Atma is a non-doer and guna functions, he continues doing various activities in the world, giving the blueprint of right action in verse number 30. What is this blueprint of right action? Verse number 13, Mai sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasra vigatachunara. This is what he said in verse number 13. Renouncing all actions in me, totality, surrendering the ego, functioning as a part, arpana bhava. I already spoke about it. Then thoughts resting on the self, never losing the awareness that I am Atma. For this, I will give you an example, which I think I have discussed this before also. 6 years I was lecturing in the Middle East also. So there, you know, those days, nowadays they started allowing others to buy properties as well. Till I think 2001, you cannot buy a property there. Even if you are born in the Middle East, and brought up there and you live there, you will still continue to hold Indian passport. Isn't it? There are people who are born in Middle East, live there, probably die there, but they will have Indian passport. They will not have UAE passport. Now, as of now, it's like that. When you live there, you follow the laws of that land. You follow the laws of that land. If you follow the laws of the land, you can be happily living there. If you don't follow the laws of the land, you will be imprisoned. Similarly, so when a person lives there, he lives there as a non-resident Indian. Whatever he does, deep inside he knows that he is an Indian living in Middle East. He must follow the laws, enjoy there, but deep inside he is always thinking that he is an Indian. Similarly, you are non-resident Atma, NRA, or non-resident self, NRS, meaning I am living in this body, but I am Atma. There are laws in this world. I follow the laws, then I live happily here, respecting the laws. I live happily without any laws. I am a non-resident self. Whatever I do, eating, sleeping, drinking, acting, I act in the spirit that I am Atma. I never forget. Like I say, do you ever in any point in time, even when you are sleeping, forget that you are a woman or a man? So you are so much aware, exactly like that. You are aware that you are Atma, with your thoughts resting on the self, free from hope and attachment, disconnecting yourself from the worries of the past and anxieties of the future. Fight, do your actions, duty, render your action. Surrendering ego, render your action without fever. What is fever? When you get fever, your temperature increases. When you have kama, krodha, lobha, mada, matsarya, bhaya, your temperature increases. When a person is caught by lust, body becomes heat. Anger, body becomes hot. All these desire and its modifications are the fever. Controlling your desires, surrendering your ego, personal idea for a larger cause. So when you walk into your organization, identify with your organization. Not just from your point of view, how much profit I can make. What is to be done? What is my role in this organization? I do. So when each one does that, then the profit potential of the organization increases. Then that is shared by everybody. That is called karma yoga, blueprint of that action. So he says, if you follow the wheel of dharma, you live your life happily with peace and prosperity, otherwise you destroy yourself. So why do we not follow yajna lifestyle? Then he asks Arjuna, he says, vasanas are powerful, everyone acts in accordance with their vasanas, their gunas. Following swadharma, avoiding personal likes and dislikes, one should rise, one should live in this world. So he says, shreya swadharmo vigunaha paradharma swanushtita swadharme nidhanam shreyaha paradharmo payavahaha. However attractive the other natures are, you must follow your nature. I already gave you the example of dog and donkey. Dog has its duty, donkey has its duty. But others do, this is what happens. A lot of people are taking up, not anymore, those days, before 2000, Y2K, Y2K, Y2K. So everybody, anybody you ask, computer. I want to become a computer professional. Why? There's more money. But their nature may be something else. Maybe arts, maybe dance, maybe singing. No. Others' profession seems to be providing more, therefore I want to take that.
Vasanas and gunas are
similar? Same. Vasanas are more unmanifest. Gunas come from vasanas. So desire and its modifications cover the individual's discrimination and they destroy. Like he says, dust covers mirror, smoke covers fire, the child is covered in the womb. Like that, the desires are covering us. Desire is your enemy. It is sitting in the senses, mind and intellect. First, how does it all start? Through your senses, it goes in. Then it goes and occupies your mind. Then the mind starts occupying your intellect. You can't think independently. Intellect should think independently and take a decision. But the mind forces the intellect to think this way. Tell me reasons why I can do this. Tell me plans and programs how I can achieve my desire. Mind starts ruling the intellect. So he says, first therefore you must control your senses. Right? We had this session after lunch. If we did not control our senses when we had our lunch, we won't be available now. I don't know how many of you were available. Hoping that you were available. So he says, controlling the senses first, gaining the knowledge of the self, you must do. Sense control. Again and again he emphasizes on sense control. Knowing that the Atma is superior to everything, you gain the knowledge of Atma, controlling your senses, doing action in this world. Don't control the organs of action, rather mindfully contact your sense of perceptions. Thus, you will become slowly, slowly available for jnana. Through jnana, you can realize the self. Thus ends the third chapter. Let's conclude. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.